After a huge week in presidential politics that included an upset victory for Bernie Sanders in Michigan and two important debates, Republican frontrunner Donald Trump is once again dominating the news cycle today in a way. There's no surprise there, but he was endorsed by former rival Ben Carson this morning. And in a news conference afterwards, Trump defended his own comments about Islam-hating Americans. He defended the violence that some of his supporters have shown against protesters at Trump rallies, and he said the Republican Party has lost its way.
The Republican Party now, something has happened. Call it a miracle, call it whatever you want to do, but they're talking about it all over the world. It's the biggest story in all of politics, one of the big stories of the world. The millions and millions of people that are pouring into the Republican Party, not to the Democrats, to the Republican Party. And these are people that were disenfranchised. These are people that haven't had a pay increase in 20 years. These are people that have seen their jobs go to China and to Mexico and to Japan and to Vietnam and to every other country in the world but us. It's going to all end. It's going to end.
Robin, so much for the rest of the week's political news.
Well, should we even play the jingle?
Here and now,
2016.
I take it that's a yes. Joining us for a look at the week on the trail, Margaret Tolliv, White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. Hi, Margaret.
Hello, everyone.
And Domenico Montanaro, NPR lead politics editor. Hi, Domenico.
Hey, good afternoon.
And Margaret, start with you. Take up Trump's comments today. And first of all, he obviously was saying that he's the one who's resurrecting the Republican Party. But he also talked about the protesters. He was asked about protesters and violence at his rallies. And he said his followers just swing back. It's the protesters who are violent. He also said there should be a little more of that, followers swinging back. How's that resonating?
Well, you know, this is really dangerous territory, right, for any candidate to be in. On the one hand, his supporters are everything, and he needs to keep them energized. He can't turn against them. On the other hand, you have people literally being, like, investigated for assault and facing charges and investigations now in the audience.
This is one of the supporters who was who sucker-punched a protester who was being walked out. Yeah. He has been charged with assault, and when asked about it, he said if he saw the protester again, he might have to kill him.
Right. So there's that. So this is taking things to an entirely different level. And as you know, the story is kind of moving on several fronts. There's a reporter who said that she was grabbed by Donald Trump's, one of his top handlers, and tried to be forced out of the way so she couldn't ask a question. That's become an entirely separate sort of uproar where Trump and the campaign have denied that and said that he said that he thinks she was making it up.
Well, and should we just jump in to say that the latest on that is that Breitbart News, a conservative organization, says that the incident did happen, but they don't think that it was the top campaign
right,
manager
okay.
who did it. So there you are on that. So there's, as you say, there's a lot of things piling up.
It is. And the question is, for any traditional candidate, for any normal political candidate, certainly at the presidential level, but let's be honest, even at, you know, a city council level, there would be an expectation, an imperative, an impetus on that candidate to be very clear and also calming in terms of their language about what's appropriate and what's not appropriate, instructing folks in their audience about the right way to behave. And Trump has put his thumb down in a different space on that spectrum than you can imagine Ted Cruz would do, Marco Rubio would do, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, because he's a different kind of candidate. It's almost even hard to say, you know, what to think or what to do. Yeah. It adds to the sort of sense of
loss for words.
Well, yeah, I am at a loss for words. Yeah. Of this not falling within the normal boundaries of the media struggling for how to cover it, of other political candidates trying to figure out what to do, and of a sense that things are sort of chaotic and unpredictable.
Well, Domenico, I want to get your view in here, but first let's play a piece of tape also from this morning, because as we mentioned, Ben Carson has now officially endorsed Donald Trump. Here he is describing Trump just this morning.
Some people have gotten the impression that Donald Trump is, you know, this person who is not malleable, who does not have the ability to listen and to take information in and to make wise decisions. And that's not true.
It's interesting, Domenico, because it wasn't all that long ago that Donald Trump, was pretty critical of Ben Carson for things about like his faith, his childhood growing up. But it seems as if Carson has forgiven all of that.
Well, first of all, I don't think anybody thinks Donald Trump's not malleable. I mean, when it comes to his views on conservatism, you just have to ask Ted Cruz with all those ads he's run against him for how his views have changed on a variety of subjects. As far as the Carson relationship with Donald Trump, I think this all stems back to Iowa and the fact that Ted Cruz had, said that Ben Carson was basically dropping out of the race because he was going home to Florida. And I think there's some sour grapes there. And Ben Carson would rather go to Donald Trump because Trump was very nice to Carson, said nice things about him after all that happened.
Well, Carson also said that there are two Donald Trumps. Now, Trump disagreed in that this morning. He says the same thing in private that he says in public. And that brings us to his comments this week about Islam. The conversation with Anderson Cooper, he said Islam is a huge faith over a billion. We know that Islam is a huge faith over a billion followers, but he says it hates Americans. Anderson Cooper pressed him. Did he really mean that? And here's Donald Trump today talking about that exchange with Anderson Cooper.
I know the exact answer. I could have given an answer the other night to Anderson Cooper, which would have been perfect, and nobody would have been talking about it. It would have been fine. But there is a problem, and we've got to find out what the problem is. We have to solve the problem. And you're not going to solve the problem unless you know there is a problem.
Domenico, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, Donald Trump will say a lot of this kind of stuff, and I think that's part of his campaign is this protectionist, nativist feeling that he's trying to rev up in the people that support him. He's the kind of person who I've said before, if he ran focus groups, if he did that, you would think a lot of his message was focus grouped because he knows exactly the kind of touchstones that do well with the people that support him. You know, Marco Rubio had that very strong comeback on that, saying that he's not trying to do what's politically correct or say what's politically correct, but to say what is correct. And that got big applause from his supporters in the audience. It's just not clear that that kind of message is actually something that this Republican Party is open to at this point.
Right. That and a dollar will get you a cup of coffee on Tuesday in Ohio and Florida.
Well, I want to ask you both about something that President Obama said, because he weighed in yesterday, basically saying that the GOP has created its own problem, its own crack up, in the president's word, and that it wasn't Obama said it wasn't his fault, and they're the ones who questioned his birthright. They allowed Donald Trump to go after the birther theories, et cetera, et cetera. Defenders will agree. But so is history being written now, though? I mean, is there possibly any consensus on this?
Well, on President Obama and whether or not he's to blame for Donald Trump's rise, it's sort of twofold here, because I think you've seen the increase in turnout for Republicans this year. It's attributable 100%, I've said before, to Donald Trump and to Barack Obama. It's because there's this anger within the party toward what they've seen as a cultural change within this president's administration, on the direction of the country, whether it's social issues or what have you. And there's a giant frustration there. And President Obama, while he may have not done anything directly to, have people question his birth and all that, just the fact that him being who he is and the way his administration has been run or has been viewed or has been, maybe unfairly characterized, that's part of what has led to the ability for someone like Donald Trump to, be able to be a front runner in this race.
Well, in the couple minutes we have, I want to ask you both where we go from now going into Tuesday. Marco Rubio's campaign is urging people in Ohio to vote for John Kasich to stop Donald Trump from winning in that state. Here's Rubio on ABC's Good Morning America today about his chances in his home state, Florida.
There's a significant number of voters that are now making up their minds, and I think they'll head our way. I hope so anyways, and I feel strongly that they will. And the other is there's a lot of Kasich and Cruz supporters who realize that neither John Kasich nor Ted Cruz has any chance to win in Florida. And if they don't want Donald Trump to be our nominee, then voting for John Kasich or Ted Cruz in Florida is a vote for Donald Trump.
And Margaret, just to do the math for us on this. These are both winner-take-all states.
Yeah, and, right now Ted Cruz is about 100 points behind Donald Trump in the pledged delegates. This really is Marco Rubio's last stand. If he can't win in his own state, how could he possibly go forward? But what he's hoping is that just barely John Kasich can pull it out long enough for him to live another day. And then, you know, maybe he doesn't have to give it up to Ted Cruz, or, you know, or maybe Ted Cruz and Rubio don't both have to give it up entirely. Tuesday is going to be a huge day in that Republican contest.
But Domenico, what about on the Democratic side? The polls were completely wrong in Michigan.
Well, and look, just on the math on the Republican side of things, if Trump can't win both Ohio and Florida, it makes it very difficult for him to go into the convention with a majority of the delegates. Of course, that's true for – there's nobody else on the Republican side who can do it, but it makes it almost impossible that anybody will get a majority of the delegates because they're winner take all. Yeah. On the Democratic side, the math is very difficult for Bernie Sanders, but that was an important win for him in Michigan. He hopes that to be able to win in big states like Ohio or Illinois in the Midwest, which might be open to his message on trade like they were in Michigan, that he can send another message and maybe turn this thing around. But because of how they award delegates, the Democrats, proportionally, it makes it for a very difficult aircraft carrier to turn around.
Domenico Montanaro, lead politics editor for NPR. Margaret Tal, of White House correspondent for Bloomberg News, as we head into the weekend and then Tuesday. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.